Well, it's probably safe to say that most little towns have an annual festival where they get everybody together. And Edgar, for example, has this steam engine thing that they do late summer. I grew up on a farm, but near this little town of Eastman, and the big thing was the 4th of July parade. It was the biggest parade in all of Crawford County. So a town of 300 would be about 2,000. And it was a big parade, lasted an hour. When I was a kid, I got to ride my bike in it. And then one year I was in the marching band and they had these old wool uniforms. Boy, you'd sweat a lot in those things. And then the baseball team, we were on a float. We just loved the 4th of July. It was our big thing. And there's a little town called Cassville. It's on the Mississippi River. It's just across from Dubuque. And they have this thing called the Cat Cruise. I think it still goes. It's Cat FM 92.9. And there's all these old cars and they would come out at music. And it was a huge gathering. And one summer, it was 92, 93, whatever year it was, I met this kid, Sam Oakey. If you know anything about Wisconsin basketball, he's arguably one of the great athletes that's ever come of age in our state. And I shook his hand, a huge guy. And he was one of these guys that, well, a surefire, can't-miss kind of prospect. He'd be playing in the NBA someday. And I had a chance to chat with him. He's got a really nice name, you know, nice ring to it, Sam. And anyway, but you know, his life did not go according to the script. It didn't work out the way any of us anticipated. As we get older, we're interested in each other's stories. That's why the scriptures become more relevant as we get older. We listen because their stories are our stories, how God doesn't give up on people. We make our plans and then they don't go the way we want. And then sometimes we say, I quit. But God doesn't. He's faithful. He can't change who he is. And his fidelity gives us hope. Isaiah, for example, he has this experience of God. He says, oh my gosh. I mean, he sees God in his throne and the seraphim singing. He's like, whoa. He remembers exactly when it happened in the year King Uzziah died. Peter has an experience of God. He had to catch a fish. He knew that something happened that was not explainable by anything he'd ever seen before. And he would never see anything quite like that again. But he would see a God who had power. He would experience that power. And I hope that all of us have had an experience of God, or at least, well, if anybody comes to Holy Name, that would be our prayer for them. To have an experience of God. There are some things that would, criteria for us, that it helps if we want to have an experience of God, right? One time this kid, a friend of mine, was at an ordination, and they always call those to be ordained, please come forward. So it was like Bob Smith. And he stood up and he said, present. And somebody yelled out, it was a woman's voice, Bob, don't do it. Don't do it, Bob. And of course, there was a ripple of kind of like, but nobody yelled that when I was ordained. But anyway, it was the idea that he wanted to experience God's love. God called him, but he responded. It helps if we have a desire to ask the Lord, I want to experience your love. I want to know that you care about me, that you know my name and my life, and that you have a plan for me. You can ask God. He said, if you knock, the door will be open. If you ask, you will receive. There's this, he was the head of the whole Jesuit order back in the 1970s, Father Pedro Rupe, who was from Spain. He had a massive stroke, and he lived 10 years. In that last part of his life, he could do nothing physically. And he wrote a prayer during that time. He said, Lord, all my life I wanted to be all yours. But what I never managed to do on my own, you've done now for me. Because in my debilitation, my limited state, I am all yours. To want that is really important. But even if we don't want it, maybe somebody else wants it for us. That's okay too. We all know people that we wish they'd had an experience of God. We're praying for them. We can't do it for them, but we certainly can be intercessors. I mean, St. Monica would never have become the towering saint without her son, Augustine. He was a talented kid, but was incorrigible. And so she prayed for him 33 years before he finally was baptized. And so he becomes a towering saint. But first, his mom didn't waste that opportunity. She saw it as, I could pray. Back in 2009, I started to pray this St. Joseph novena. It's a 30-day novena. It says you can get whatever you ask for. I always ask every year, I ask for the Packers to win the Super Bowl. 30-day novena, and I'm still praying it today. That's 16 years now. And when I pray it, somebody taught me to pray for my students' past, present, and future. I pray for my parishioners, past, present, and future. I don't know, does it do any good? Of course it does. St. Joseph, he's the patron of the Universal Church. He helps us in immeasurable ways. Someone must have prayed for me a lot. You see, our life, it depends on other lives. When you come to Mass, it's not just for you. You're thinking and praying for others too. People who can't or won't come. That doesn't mean we don't have an opportunity. We can want an experience of God for them. And never to think that it won't work. There are lots of things that dispose us to be open to God. Coming to Mass, the liturgy has all sorts of things. Music and preaching and teaching. It's amazing the things that we soak in. I used to say that I could tell my students in a week or two if they went to Mass. You soak in a lot of scripture just by coming Sunday after Sunday. If you get older and you go every day, you'll know a lot about the Bible, the Old Testament, especially the Gospels, especially the life of our Lord. Faith's passed on by hearing, so we want to have good preaching, teaching, great music. If you came to that mission in the fall, they would do all sorts of things to help us to have an experience that God is real. Incense and light and darkness, all sorts of things that affect us. Now, if like Isaiah and Peter, you have an experience of God, you're also probably going to respond the way they did. I am not worthy. Lord, you got the wrong person. Choose somebody else. I'm a sinful man. Well, isn't that the truth? All right, we say it right before we receive Jesus in Holy Communion. I am not worthy. It's true. But it's not just reducible to our worthiness. It's a God who is, well, he's all loving. And who are we to say no to him when he gives himself to us? I want to love you and help you. I want to serve you. I want to forgive you. And we do right to say, amen, so be it. Your will be done in me. I know that we struggle with to believe in his mercy. I hope you go to confession on a regular basis. That really is a very convincing sacrament. If we don't, we become like these crabs in a bucket, right? I don't know where I heard this once, but if you get a 5-gallon pail, you take a live crab. I don't know where you get a live crab, but put it in a bucket. You have to put a lid on it because it'll shimmy up the side and get out. If you put 2 crabs in a bucket, you can get rid of the lid. You can put 10 crabs in a bucket. You'll never need a lid again. Why? Because one goes up the side, the others pull him back down. If we don't believe in God's mercy, that's what becomes of us. We pull everybody down. Misery likes company. We see not the good in others, but their brokenness. We see the same in ourselves. God really does love us, and it really is a personal love. And that takes a requirement. It demands that we have an experience of God. Sam Oakey, they won 2 state titles. The guy would probably be the all-time leading scorer, but a lot of games they were so far ahead at halftime that he never played in the second. He could play all 5 positions. He's 6'7", which in a little bit I'll be the same height when I get up by the altar. We have a platform up there right now. It's for they're doing the lights, right? So that's, and I think I'd prefer to be 5'9", actually. But anyway, he played at the University of Wisconsin. They got a different coach, wasn't the right fit, transferred to Iowa, broke his wrist. Never made it to the NBA, played in Turkey and Europe. Life never really went the way that he'd hoped. But I saw an interview back in 2015. He was inducted into the Wisconsin Basketball Coaches Hall of Fame. He deserves it. And he had a beautiful interview. He was asked, do you have any regrets? He said, I used to be pretty bitter about all the things that went wrong. I've gotten older and I'm grateful. I had a lot of opportunities, a lot of blessings. God gave me a lot of gifts, and I don't have the regrets that I used to have. He lives here in Wausau somewhere, and I haven't had a chance to meet him. But if he does come to Mass, I'll make sure the platform's still here so I can see him eye to eye. The idea that life does not go the way that we want it to. It goes the way God wants it to. His ways are not our ways. He's a mysterious God, and he leads wherever he wants, and, well, with his help, we can have an experience of his love. He wants it to give himself to us. He wants us to know that he's real, that, Lord, I am a man of unclean lips. But at the end, Isaiah had such a conversion that who will I send? And he says, choose me. Well, when he asks us, do you want to be a part of this? Lord, you know, you made me, I belong to you. Choose me.